All right. Good morning again. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, and it's good to be able to worship with you. You know, many times we talk bad about the social media, how bad it is. But we can also see the good in it as well. That in spite of all these things that are going on, we can still worship the Lord our God through it because of social media. Come on, give social media. Yes, yes. We clap our hands for social media. Well, one of the things that we want to tell you as well, starting this week, we will email it for those of you who are part of the church. And if you're not part of the church, you're just watching, and you want to go on our website and ask for prayer, you will also see the new schedule we'll put together this week so we could pray for those who are in need of prayer and gather together to pray. So this morning, I would like to talk to you on the subject of the art of looking up. The art of looking up. Our scripture is found in Psalm chapter 121. Psalm 121, and I'm going to read it for you. The psalmist says, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. The word psalm simply means song. That's all it means. Psalms means song. And one thing you need to know about the people in ancient times, they sung their travels. They sung their travels. You see, when they traveled, they weren't in air-conditioned SUVs with GPS and on cruise control. It was a foot journey, a long foot journey. They had to walk in the sun, up the mountains, down the valleys, in rain, and at night to get their to their destination and to pass the time. They would sing or write a song to sing that was appropriate for the journey. So when the psalmist found himself on this particular journey, he opened his playlist. None of the song in his playlist was appropriate for this journey. This was on unfamiliar territory. He decided to write a song, a new song for this journey. In fact, it's not just people long ago. I remember when I was a child in Haiti, the woman in the church who used to go into the villages to sell food in the marketplace, they themselves wrote a song, and I'm going to try my best to do service to it. You know, the song said, when I'm going up the mountains, when I'm going up the mountains, I see valleys on my left and on my right. And I cry out, oh Lord, hold me tight. Hold on tighter to me, because if my foot slip, that is the end of me. I know if you are watching and you know Haitian churches, this is a very familiar song because people sung their way while they travel. I think you and I should learn from the psalmist. I think you and I should learn from these people. At the start of 2020, the world finds itself on a journey in unfamiliar territory. A COVID-19 virus pandemic, a virus unlike anything we have faced before. I call it the silent killer. You see, what we are facing now, we cannot keep on singing the same old songs. What we are facing now, this problem we have today, where the entire country is shutting down, the entire world is shutting down, the stock market is crumbling down, government doesn't know what to do. We cannot keep singing this old same song. If we to survive this virus, it requires that we sing a new song. Then this particular song, Psalm 121, does not tell us explicitly what road the psalmist was on during the journey, but it tells us a lot about the journey he was on. First, the thing we learn about the journey is that the journey was long with no end in sight. How do we know that? There are two clues we have. We have two clues. Psalm 121 and is part of the 15 Psalms called the Psalm of the Ascent. The word ascent means to climb, to walk to a summit of a mountain or hill. And that's the first clue. The second clue is that the psalmist started his psalm by saying this, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Now listen to it. He didn't say to the hill. He said to the hills. That means there were many hills he had to climb. So that was a long, strenuous journey that he was on. Many mountains to climb with no end in sight. And you know that we have a saying that says behind mountains, there are mountains. In fact, from what the experts are telling us about this COVID-19 pandemic is that it will be a long journey. It will be a long journey. And the journey was not only long, but the journey was a dangerous journey. An uphill battle. And fear overtook him. It was so dangerous. Such an uphill battle. Fear overtook the psalmist. He says, you know that hill represent problems, obstacles, stronghold, something that is beyond you, something too much to bear, danger, perils on every side. The psalmist realized if he was to make it out alive on this journey, he needed to look up. He needed to look up and cry, where those in crying song, where does my help come from? In fact, you know the song, I will lift up my eyes to the hill. Where does my help come from? And I'm telling you, you and I, you see, growing up in church, when they translated the hill, when they talk about the hill, they often talk about it as if the hill represents God. No. Look at the text. That's not what the text is saying. The context of this song is the hill does not represent God. Because if the hill did represent God, he would not say, I look up to the hill and say, where does my help come from? If he looked up to the hills, if the hill was representing God and the hill was God, then he would not say that. No, it's because the hill was too much for him. It was too much to handle. It was too big of a problem, just like we are facing right now. Too big of a problem. No one knows what to do. Even the experts don't know what to do. The hill was the domain of real and present danger for two reasons. First, for natural reason. In verse 4, he says, the psalmist says, he will not let your foot slip. So your foot could slip at any time. I remember we went on a mission trip, the Wilsons, Fadia, myself, and Dean, and Stephanie, and so many of us. We went on a mission to Haiti. In fact, the word Haiti means mountain, many mountains. So there is a lot of mountains in Haiti. Even to get to Jacmel, it was an uphill battle. Everybody was scared because the valley was right there. The distance between you going down the hill, you know, on the road is not too far from your wheel. In fact, somebody said on the wheel, we were going somewhere, they said this, the mountain was named, Dog Will Not Find You. Meaning, if your foot slip, you're done. The dogs will not even have the chance to come and sniff you. That's how bad of a hill it was. And that's exactly what the psalmist is talking. I've been there. I've seen it on mission trip, where we were scared because we're looking at the valley down there. In fact, we saw somebody hanging with a big chalk. Half of the chalk is about to go in the valley. But he not only talk about his foot slipping, the natural danger, he talks about the sun will not strike you by day and the moon by night. He's talking about morning. If you're going up this mountain, you could get dehydrated and get a sunstroke. And he is talking about the moon shall not harm you as well by day. He may be talking about on top of the mountain, sometimes at night, definitely get really cold and you could freeze yourself to death. But second, the hill not only had natural danger, but there was man-made danger as well. There were thieves and robbers. That's where they did their best work, in those hills. Remember Jesus' word to us in Luke chapter 10 verse 30? He tells us that a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and he fell among robbers who stripped him and beat him and departed, leaving him half for dead. So not only you have to worry about your feet slip, you have to worry about the sun striking you, the freezing temperature at night, but you also have to worry about thieves and robbers. So this journey was not only an uphill battle, it was a dangerous one. Even the priest nor the Levite would not even stop for the men on the road, because they knew even though lightning doesn't strike twice, robbers and thieves often do. So they were in a rush. So fear and anxiety started creeping in the psalmist's heart. But then he looked up. He looked up and began to write a song. You see, he did not turn around because the mountains were too big. You see, he did not try to go around the hill. The psalmist looked up and he saw he who is higher than the mountains that he faced. Just like the psalm said, the one who is stronger than the power of the grave. He saw he who is constant to the trials and the change. This one thing remained. Psalm 46 verse 1, that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in danger. I want you to tell you this moment that we're going through, we're not going to run away. We're not going to go in hiding, but we're going to lift up our eyes up to the hill and sing a new song. God is our refuge and strength and ever present help in times of trouble. Psalmist came to his senses. He says, where does my help come from? And he answers himself, my help comes from the Lord. Not the government. They can try to do whatever they need to do. But God is the one who made the heavens and the earth. So our help comes from the Lord, the maker in the earth. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Look up. Look up to the hills. Look up, because your God is higher than the hills, higher than the problem that you face, stronger than the problem that you're going through. In the NBA, seems usually double Stephen Curry. That's what they do. Because he is one of, if not the greatest shooter in the NBA history. But last January, something memorable happened when the Grizzlies played the Warriors. The Warriors were leading by 24 points at the half and scored 30 more points in the third quarter because no one could stop Steph. And finally, in the fourth quarter, the coach bring in Tony Allen. A fierce defender who once played in the Celtics championship team and stick him onto Steph Curry. And little by little, the Grizzlies chip away the lead. And the Warriors only scored 13 points in the final quarter. And the Grizzlies won in overtime. But what makes the game so memorable is not that the Grizzlies won against the Warriors. What makes the game so memorable for me is that one of the TV mics pick up Tony Allen yelling over and over to his teammate, "I don't need your help. I can guard him by myself. I don't need your help." But somehow, this forward rang loudly in the current culture we live in. In the United States, we have become the DIY culture. Do it yourself. We developed the notion of self-sufficiency. I got this. I don't need you. You don't need me. I don't need God. I want you to know if there was ever a time you needed God, it's today. It's in this time. It's in this problem that we are facing. But the question is, what happens when we face with these mountains? When we are hit by this pandemic? When our knowledge is insufficient to meet it, people are dying by hundreds. People are worried about their health. They are worried about their family and friends. They are worried about their finance. While the federal government is trying, the state government and the professionals are trying to see if you could get an answer. They're going for trials and error. But I want to tell you, there is one that doesn't have to go through trials and error. He knows exactly what to do. What happened when Christians are looking at the foundations and they are crumbling under our feet? What can the righteous do? That's what the Bible asks. What can the righteous do? Because the Bible says that we are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We Christians play a major role in the safety of this world. So no, we can't just run into isolation. No, there is something the righteous can do, and it will work faster than the result that the professionals, the government can give us. We can go into our closet and we can look up. We can look up. We can look up. But you see, the problem is the church has lost the art of looking up. The church has lost the art of looking up. But this is what God says in 2 Chronicles 7 verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and look up and pray. That's what I mean by looking up. And pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. If only my people come back to the art of looking up. Looking up to the one who makes the heavens and the earth. Looking up to the one who is bigger than your problem. Looking up to the one who is the first, the last, the beginning, and the end. The psalmist did not realize that psalmist realized that God is bigger than the mountain he faced. But he also realized that God is the maker of the very mountain that he faced. In Psalm 121 verse 2, he said, "Where does my help come from? My helps come from the Lord, the maker of the heavens and the earth." If you're watching and you're sitting at home, afraid, filled with anxiety, don't know where to go. You're looking left. You're looking right. You're looking forward. You're looking backward. I want you to know that you have help, but you must learn the art of looking up. It's time we pray. It's time we gather together and pray. It's time you get on your closet and pray. It's time we get on YouTube and pray. It's time we get on Facebook and pray. It's time we get onto meeting forums that we pray, conference call, and pray and look up to the heavens. Not the hills, not our problems, Not what's going on. Look up at the hills, but on top of the hills, you can see the God who saves. You see, the disciples had a big problem. They were fishermen, but they found themselves in the middle of the water, and a big storm came. It was really bad. It was emergency. When you see fishermen are crying on the water, it's what we call the perfect storm. They were in a perfect storm, and they were crying because of their problem. The problem were rising. The water was rising, but then they saw Jesus was standing on the very problem they had. This is our God. This is our God. More things, and listen to what somebody says. He says, more things are achieved by prayer than this world ever dream of. More things are achieved by prayer than this world ever dream of. It was Alfred Tennyson. Therefore, let thy voice, let your voice rise like a fountain before the God, our maker, about this COVID-19 virus. And I tell you, this too shall pass. If my people shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked way, I will heal, forgive them their sins, and will heal their land. Our land is sick right now. The world is sick. No one can go anywhere. But God promised if we look up to Him, He could heal our land. You know why? Because James, the Apostle James, the little brother of Jesus, in his epistle says, therefore, confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous person is powerful. It's effective. It avails much. It is fervent. Your prayer is not in vain. When you lift up your voice to God, lift up your eyes up to God and cry out to Him, He hears you, and your prayers are not in vain. I often wonder what gives the psalmist such confidence in God's ability to save, such confidence for God to save him. In verse 3, he said, He will not let your foot slip. In verse 6, he says, the sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. In verse 7, he said, the Lord will keep you from all harm. In verse 8, he said, the Lord will watch over your coming and going both now and forever. Just like David said, 1,000 in his psalm, 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but it will not come near me because of his faith in God. The psalmist tells us why he has such confidence in the God we serve. He says, He does not slumber nor sleep. The one who watches over house of bread, the one who watches over the world, the one who watches over the United States of America does not slumber. You know what slumber means? He does not take naps. You know what? It's the picture of the God watching a fortress, watching a country. And sometimes the armies would attack them when they are changing guard, or when one of them fall asleep. And then the other army would come and attack them. But I want to tell you, He who watches over you, He does not take nap. He doesn't need to change of the guard. He is the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. Take your fear to the Maker of the heavens and the earth. Cast your burden upon Him because He cares. Listen, if you didn't hear anything I said this morning, hear this. Lift up your head to the hills. Learn again the art of looking up to God. Let's get back to praying, because the prayer of a righteous person is effective. The prayer of a righteous person avails much. Listen, the song said, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord which made the heavens and the earth. He said he would not suffer thy foot to be moved. The Lord which keepeth thee, he will not slumber nor sleep. Oh, the Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade. Upon thy right hand. Upon thy right hand. No, the sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. He shall preserve thy soul even forevermore. My help. All of my helps cometh from the Lord. If you are here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you are all alone and you're watching us on Facebook, I'm telling you, you need to lift up your head to Him and say, Lord, I need Thee right now. And He will come into your heart. He will come and sit with you. He will come because He promised to be with you always. You don't have to be alone. There is a God who promises to be with you, to save, because He loves you. Let me pray for you and let me pray with you. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son to die for us on the cross. If you could have sent your Son to die for our sin on the cross and paid our price, oh God, this little COVID-19 virus is too small for you. But you are waiting on us. You are waiting on House of Bread. You are waiting on the churches in Taunton. You are waiting on the churches in Massachusetts, churches in the United States, churches all over the world to look up to you and pray and seek your face. And you promise, if we do so, you will forgive our sins, because our sins are plenty before you, and you will heal our land. Heal our land, oh God. Heal our land, oh God. Heal our land, oh God. We trust you, because you are the great God who saves. In Jesus' name we pray. We thank you for being with us. We thank you for staying with us. We thank you for worshiping with us. We will see you next week at the same time to worship and hear a word from God. God bless you. Come on, give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen.